Welcome to Not Over, Just Different. I'm your host, Natalie Ledwell, founder of Mind Movies, the ultimate personal development tool to visualize and achieve your greatest life. This podcast is for women who are looking for inspiration and guidance as they navigate the changes that come through moving through the various stages of life, or for anyone asking themselves, who do I want to be? Now, on this transformational show, I'll be talking to inspiring people from all walks of life about their stories of how they faced and overcame life's challenges in powerful ways. These are raw, candid conversations, often not shared until now. We'll be discussing topics like health, relationships, life's transitions, aging gracefully, and learning to see life from a fresh new perspective. We explore what it means to continually grow and evolve as your world changes and live a fulfilling life. As well, we'll provide you with amazing tools and resources to help you move through change with courage and resilience. So if you're ready to take the plunge and start your journey to becoming your most powerful, authentic self, then join me, Natalie Ledwell, on Not Over, Just Different, for insightful conversations about how to tackle life's new chapter. Well, hello everyone and welcome to the podcast for this week. This week, we are going to be talking about biohacking specifically for women. Now, when I think of biohacking, I always think about my friends Dave Asprey and the guys, and it's a very like male-dominated, you know, area, like with Tim Ferriss and those kind of guys. But today, my special guest, Angela Foster, has her own personal story about how she got into this. She's a, you know, performance coach and an amazing woman, and I'm really looking forward to hearing all this conversation today and this information. So how are you, Angela? How are things?
I'm really well, thank you, Natalie. Excited to be here. I'm so happy we finally got this organized.
Yeah,
it's great to be here today.
It's taken us a little while. And as you can hear, Angela is from the UK. And for all my Australian listeners out there, yes, she is a POM. And which is the Australian nickname for people from the UK. So, why don't we start with your story first? Because, it's quite an extreme example, but I think a lot of women will be able to identify themselves in, you know, parts of your story as well.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to share that. So I kind of started out, as we were saying offline before the show, as a corporate lawyer for many years, working crazy, crazy hours in London. And, you know, all nights, weekends, which I think probably gave me, set the stage for kind of a background of some degree of adrenal dysfunction, right? And exhaustion, high stress environment. And then my first kind of foray into the health area was actually in my 20s when I was diagnosed with PCOS and endometriosis, quite relatively common hormonal conditions, and faced with the prospect of not being able to have children. So I was kind of researching at the time, still as a corporate lawyer, getting into nutrition, figuring out how I could kind of get back on track. I had some surgery, and then I felt very lucky to have my three children actually very quickly and unexpectedly quite close together. When I was 8 months pregnant, I made partnership at the law firm. So it was all kind of crazy. And then I had my three kids within the space of 4.5 years. So life was busy. Let's put it that way.
To say the least.
To say the least. Exactly. And corporate law doesn't combine very well with young children. And I was very burnt out. And actually, quite surprisingly for me, I didn't expect to suffer with postnatal depression, but I did. And it got progressively worse after each child until after my third child, I was then diagnosed with major depressive disorder. And I'd kind of basically, Natalie, created this prison in my own mind where I just wanted to turn the thoughts off. I loved and adored my children and my husband, but I had these thoughts that were coming thick and fast. I felt like very unworthy as a mother, contemplating taking my own life, but not wanting to leave my kids without a mother, wanting to leave my husband as, you know, the wife who took her own life. And so I was just literally, it was like a prison in my mind. And my kids got sick with a cough. And I then picked that up, and in me, it got progressively worse. And they were treating me at home. I was then taken to hospital for chest x-rays, they suspected lung cancer. So I had a CT scan, and I was thinking, well, I've got these crazy fevers. They knew I had pneumonia. And it turned out it was just the pneumonia, but it was viral and bacterial pneumonia on both lungs, and I was neutropenic. So my white blood cell count was now really low, and that's when I was admitted into hospital straight away. No opportunity to pick the kids up, say goodbye. And that was a very defining moment in my life. And I tried to run away from myself. And now here I was in hospital alone, faced with the prospect of not seeing it through. And I felt this profound sense of peace. That's the only way I can describe it. And it sounds a bit woo, and it could be, you know, due to the high fevers that I was experiencing. But I suddenly felt this sense of peace and this deep connection and love for my children, and a feeling that I had to get well for them. And it's amazing when just the mind-body experience and how the mind can kind of change your physiology so quickly. But within 48 hours of me making that decision, I've got to get well for my kids, my blood work changed and I started to improve. And so I'm very grateful for that experience. But that led me on this journey of biohacking and finding people like Dave Asprey and Ben Greenfield, and then retraining in nutrition and health coaching, really initially as my own quest for health optimization. And then I'd got to this situation where I'd taken a career break from law. I'd kind of had this concept of high performance, done really well in the world of work. And then I'd got my health back on track over a number of years, but I wanted to find out how to put the two together. And then I started my podcast, High Performance Health. And I've just got more into helping women as much as I possibly can, because I think I don't think it's uncommon when I listen to so many women and women I work with, their stories, that to have this kind of just not really knowing where to turn and struggling with things like hormonal issues and postnatal depression, I think it's a really challenging time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the background of how I arrived here.
I love that. And the thing is, when I look at a lot of the biohacking techniques, they don't necessarily translate for women as well. You know, we do have this hormonal situation, and, you know, like I've always known about menopause, but then, you know, on this show, we've talked a lot about perimenopause. I go, wait, what, we've got a warm up for that? Like, come on. Like, do we not get a break? What's the story? Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, when you talk about having that moment of peace, it's amazing what we can allow to come through when we stop being so bloody busy. Isn't it?
Yeah. It's so true. And when we stop judging ourselves, right, and just that internal chatter, because I had a bigger kind of sense of purpose, right, and connection at that point. Because I just, looking back, you know, I thought I was a terrible mother. I thought my kids would be better off without me when I was in that place, and, you know, on kind of antipsychotic medication as well as antidepressants to control for bipolar episodes. I was just all over the place trying to take charge. But then actually just that time to be on my own and rest and have those insights were just, I'm very, very grateful for, hugely valuable. Yeah. But it's funny what you say there about women and, you know, perimenopause. I always think that we have a bit of a rough road, really, because many women struggle with their hormonal health, which is why I got into biosyncing and biohacking. But then you kind of have pregnancy, and then so you go through that prenatal, that pregnancy, the postnatal, and you might repeat that a few times like I did. And then when you've just finished that and you think, I can kind of rest, it's like, hey, you've hit perimenopause and now there's a bit more disruption again.
Yeah.
So
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. So we've mentioned biohacking. So I would love you to explain what biohacking is for those people who don't know. And you also mentioned biosyncing. So let's talk about those two phrases and what they actually mean.
Yeah. So biohacking, Dave Asprey is obviously the father of biohacking. Mm. And has kind of led the foray there. So it's working with your own biology and really manipulating your external and internal environment for optimal health. That's the way I see it. It's kind of an art and a science put together. Right. And it kind of, I guess, felt quite masculine in format, the world of biohacking a little bit. I guess the word hacking kind of comes from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And for me, it just feels as a woman more intuitive to think of syncing. So like, how can we sync with our biorhythm? So yes, our circadian rhythm, but also with our hormones, our hormonal stages in life, but also bringing in that piece of like our goals and dreams. Like, what do we want to manifest in our lives, and syncing with that and the laws of the universe? And I think when you come in sync with all of those things, life just feels more effortless. You're more in flow. You're not having to kind of use the grit and the angst to kind of get ahead. So that's where biosyncing came from.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so let's start with hormones, because I think, you know, most of the women listening to this podcast are like, yeah, I need some help with that. So what are some of the things that we can do to really help us get back into like a great rhythm that's really in tune with our bodies?
So I think, I'm glad you asked that. I think one of the first things is like really listening to your body and understanding that a lot of what we see isn't necessarily going to work for women as well as it works for men. And it needs some form of adaptation. Right. And I love what Dr. Stacey Sims, when she says women are not small men. I just think that's so true, right? And we need to treat ourselves a little bit differently, because we're not just running according to the circadian clock, which is like the 24-hour clock regulated by the sun. Yes, we have that, but we have this second rhythm, which is an infradian rhythm, which, you know, in a textbook format would be 28 days, the menstrual cycle. But most women don't fall exactly within that textbook.
Right.
But some of the things that I think we feel conditioned to do, right, particularly if we feel like we're gaining weight or something like that, is to just work harder and just pile more on, you know. So it's kind of like, I'm not seeing results. Well, now I'm going to do 2 workouts in the gym, for example, or I'm going to go to a yoga class and then go for a run. And I actually don't think the female body responds that well. It's a bit like intermittent fasting has many benefits, but if you fast for too long, that's a great form of stress in small doses. But for women, actually often, particularly if there are women who exercises a lot, that can start to cause disruption because we're just piling on too much stress. Right. And the female body was really designed with procreation in mind, certainly through her menstruating years.
Right. Yeah, I know the intermittent fasting, it's an interesting conversation to have because there are so many different, arguments for and against. But I think you've hit the nail on the head on when you're saying we have to really be in tune with our bodies. You know, I'm definitely on a journey where I'm, you know, looking at, hormones, anti-aging, all those kind of things. And I have to be very cognizant of, you know, when I go to see my doctor and if things change in, you know, what my prescriptions and things are, then I have to be cognizant of how I feel for the next week or two afterwards, because they, you know, the smallest of change can mean brain fog. It can mean feeling like I'm feeling like I'm not being myself. And so I think that's when we're going on this journey, I think that is a really important piece that we have to really be in tune and go, wait, well, how am I feeling and how has this made a difference?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think for people listening, you know, starting with something as simple as a journal and starting to understand, you know, how do I feel across my cycle? Or if you're going through that stage of perimenopause into that transition, how well am I sleeping? What's my anxiety like? You know, do I feel better when I work out? Or actually, should I be embracing things that are perhaps a bit more gentle? So like, for example, if we look at the menstrual cycle across the month, we know that women are usually, they have high energy around ovulation. They're much more creative. They're more outgoing. You know, if you look at the research, women that are waitresses, for example, they get more tips at that time, right? We're designed to be more outward focusing because that, in fact, is when we are most fertile. Right. But then as we move through the luteal phase and they're coming towards their period, a lot of women, you know, they kind of beat themselves up. I feel like I've got food cravings or my energy isn't as good. When in reality, we kind of need to lean into that and be more in sync with those hormones. So if we increase our carbohydrates, we've actually got a bit more calories we can have during that second phase of the month. So just, you know, eating a little bit more, some whole food for sources of carbs, things like sweet potato, we can actually stave off dark chocolate, you know, stave off some of those cravings, for example. And maybe we move to more like yoga or Pilates style workouts in those last few days. And I know that like the gym bunnies are going to be going, but then no, I won't be hitting my goals. And it's like, actually, do you know what? You're going to come back next month really, really charged, because everyone needs a deload every now and then, right? And so why don't we just move that into those last few days? You can still exercise, but move to more active recovery, and you're going to come back stronger and ready to hit it hard at the beginning of the month when we're in that low hormone phase again. And we can take advantage as we go through the month of estrogen rising, which is when we see big improvements in things like strength and muscle mass development.
Right.
So I think it's about, yeah, being, as you say, more in tune, more in sync.
Yeah. And I think too, what happens is that we have, you know, we have this way that we learnt when we were younger of how we should exercise. And I mean, you know, let's face it, when we were younger, we just have to think about exercise and we lose a couple of pounds. But yeah, the rules aren't the same as we get older, right? Now listen closely. I know I've talked a lot about body image on this show and my own struggles with self-image in particular. And because I know there are many of you listening who have reached out to me about how I overcame those struggles, I want to share with you a very powerful tool that I know you're going to love. It's a 30-second quiz that reveals the number one thing subconsciously blocking you from weight loss goals. I can't really stress enough the value in making this first step to breaking free from those negative beliefs around food or your body. Because regardless of your body type, your eating habits, and exercise rituals, having these negative subconscious beliefs will always sabotage your weight loss goals, no matter how hard you try. Trust me, I've been there. So if you're interested, then go to notoverjustdifferent.com/health quiz to take the free quiz. And I can't wait to hear what you uncover.
No, they're not. Absolutely. And I think that when we look at perimenopause, for example, we know that a few things are going on. So we know that inflammation is generally rising a little bit. We're less insulin sensitive. We're losing, particularly if we haven't been working on it, we're losing muscle mass. So we've got to work a bit harder to gain that. Cortisol tends to be higher, and a lot of women will describe anxiety and sleep disruption. So when we look at those things coming together, we want to focus on glucose, blood glucose control, but we also want to be having more protein in our diets. And I think a lot of women, you know, previously, if you didn't have any protein at breakfast or you skipped it, it didn't really seem to matter. Now it's much more important at this stage to actually make sure that you are getting kind of 30 grams of protein at a meal to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. And things like that can make such a difference to metabolism, because muscle really is an organ of longevity.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about, because I know for a lot of women, carbs are like evil and have been for a long time, but we really do need to start incorporating more, well, I'm assuming complex carbs into our diet as we get older.
Yeah, I think, and it's a delicate balance, right? Because it's different for everyone. So some people have, you know, better blood glucose control, and there's a genetic component. Then there is the muscle mass component and how much you're moving and exercising. And then there's the bit that we don't really fully know yet. And companies like Zoe are doing lots of research on around how the gut microbiome is affecting glucose metabolism. So I think there's going to be more and more coming into this space soon. I think wearing something like a continuous glucose monitor can really help, so that you understand, you know, what spikes my glucose? Bananas make mine go bananas, right? That's just, but sometimes pairing foods together can make a big difference. So, you know, if you have an apple on its own, some women won't see a spike, some will. If you have an apple with a handful of almonds, that's going to moderate it. So whenever there's more fiber intact or fat, that can actually slow down the release. So it's about kind of understanding how to eat healthily and how to pair foods together so that you have stable glucose. And this isn't just important for longevity, it's also important for energy levels as well, because then you're not on a kind of roller coaster, if you like, throughout the day.
Right. So, and other than diet, what kind of lifestyle changes or lifestyle components should we be adding at, you know, as we get older?
As we get older.
Yeah.
You mean in terms of like thinking about things like stress management, for example?
Yeah,
and resiliency.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for those listening that kind of do track things, okay. So, like, I'm a big, you know, being into biohacking, I love tracking things with my Whoop strap, my Aura ring. I would really focus on your sleep. I think it's so important. We know that deep sleep starts to go down. You have yours.
I have mine.
I ordered mine to go on this finger when I renewed it. I seem to have broken two of them already. Oh. over the years. I love them. So you'll know all about sleep tracking and what we see as we get older, both in men and women, that deep sleep tends to decline a bit. So we have to work a bit harder with our sleep hygiene to make sure we're getting that deep sleep, because it's super important, not just for overall health, but also for the health of our brain, right? So there's a certain amount of detoxification that happens at the night during deep sleep. And it's also one of the only times that we produce growth hormone when we're over the age of 40, which helps with things like muscle mass and younger looking skin and renews our gut lining and things like that. So I think being really careful with sleep hygiene, which actually starts in the morning, funnily enough. So how well you sleep tonight is determined by your activities in the morning. And the best thing you can do is go and get early access to sunlight. Here in the UK, that's very difficult in winter because we wake up and it's dark, and then mid-afternoon it's dark. But then you would want to be putting on bright lights at home, right? So that you're really aligning with that biorhythm and telling your body that it's morning, and then restricting that blue light in the evening as much as you can. And actually, when you work with someone quite closely, you can really improve that deep sleep metric. Their REM sleep, where we have that rapid eye movement, is also really key. That helps with emotional regulation. and things as well. And so focusing on that is also important. So I found that, you know, having some carbohydrates in the evening can help with sleep, but ideally just having them a couple of hours before bedtime so that you've digested them. We don't see insulin rising at the same time as melatonin when we're trying to sleep, because that can cause a different sort of set of issues. And then making sure that you're really doing that deep repair work is key. So sleep is definitely, I mean, it's foundational for everyone. Yeah. But I think, you know, when we're in our 20s, we kind of feel like we can get away with everything, right?
Well, I changes love, as we get older. And I love that you've brought this up, because there are a lot of things out there that we can measure, you know, what's happening. Like the Oura Ring, I swear, like as I got older and started going through menopause, I used to be able to sleep on a dime. Like, you know, my partner would be in bed and he'd be halfway through a sentence and I'm already asleep. But since menopause has hit, that's been completely different. And being able to measure it has been amazing, because it's like, okay, I know that if I eat within 3 hours of going to bed, then I'm not getting a great sleep. You know, if I'm drinking too close to going to bed, my heart rate stays up too high and I'm not getting enough deep sleep. So it really is great to be able to measure those kind of things. So what were some of the other gadgets that you were mentioning there? Because the Oura Ring for me is amazing. I love this thing.
Yeah. And just one of the things actually on the Oura Ring as well is you mentioned heart rate, which is a really good metric to look at and see if it's elevated, but also looking at your heart rate variability. So the variation between heartbeats. So the heart doesn't have a rhythm that beats like a metronome. We actually want to see some variability, and you can see that on the Oura Ring. So if your heart rate variability score is dropping, then you're starting to have less recovery, right? You're pushing your outputs too high compared to recovery. So you can look at that metric and think, actually, do you know what? Today I am going to do something more gentle. I'm going to focus on that recovery. Because if you're type A personality like me, you kind of actually need to be, you need to be told to do the yoga instead of the hard workout. Do you know what I mean? So that's when it can be really helpful. In terms of other kind of biohacking things, I think that infrared sauna is amazing, just really great in terms of the light therapy, the heat, the sweating, the detoxification. And that, again, has become more and more affordable now, because you can get infrared sauna blankets. You don't have to have a kind of full sauna. I think red light therapy devices are also really, really good just for helping with mitochondrial health. Just a few minutes in front of those. That's something, again, women that are, you know, women and men who are struggling with energy, focusing on the health of your mitochondria is really, really key. So that's some of the other things I use. I take a whole bunch of different supplements that I'm always trying and different things. But yeah, blue light blocking glasses, I always wear different, you know, skincare peptides, things like that. It's all fun. And I think, but I guess, for people that are listening, you want to start with the basics, right? You want to get the basics in place before you start layering all these other things in. Because there's kind of, it's always fun to buy the new toys, isn't it? And have like pulsed electromagnetic therapy and all these things going on.
I know. Well, I have an infrared sauna here at home. You know, I have the Oura Ring. I've actually been looking into the glucose monitors, because I'm like, that it is, you know, super important. But I think the other lesson that I learned is that when you are introducing something new, whether it's a supplement or whatever that is, that you do it one thing at a time. Because I remember when I first started seeing my integrative medicine practitioner, I came home with like 20 different things, and I'm like, right, I'm so excited. I'm like taking them all, and I'm like, okay, I don't feel good, but I couldn't figure out what it was that was not making me feel good. So I had to get off everything and then start to slowly implement again. So, you know, make sure that you know, have a plan. If you are working with a doctor or working with someone, have a plan and just do one thing at a time.
Definitely. And as you say, see how you feel and what's making the difference, and try and use some of these trackers, because they're so much more affordable now. I love the Whoop strap. I really, really like that, because it gives you your daily strain. So actually, like if you're working out, it starts telling you when you're hitting your strain. So it was vibrating at me this morning, right, telling me you're kind of close to your strain for the day, because I didn't get as much sleep as I should have done. But I think, yeah, and I think just being your own biohacker, right? That's effectively what you want to do, and see what works for you on a personal level, more than just, you know, following other things. But it is a lot of fun. And there's new stuff coming all the time that we can kind of play with. Yeah. But I think your example there with supplements is really, really key, because I think people often like pile a whole bunch in. And you've also got to look long term. Like, are you going to take 30 different supplements for the next 25 years? Probably not.
I hope not. Exactly. And so the other thing I want to ask, so, I mean, you're an absolute wealth of information. So how do people reach out to you? Like how do people get access to all this amazing information?
So there's a couple of places. So my podcast is High Performance Health. I also have a health check quiz that people can take. If you go to yourtotalhealthcheck.com, they can actually get a personalized score on their sleep, their nutrition, their fitness, and we'll send you a free personalized report. And then I also have a membership specifically for women, which I think we're going to give your audience a link to go to, Natalie, the Female Biohacker Collective. They can join where we actually coach women every single week. With monthly masterclasses and live challenges on how they can take charge of every single aspect of their health, with special expert interviews in there and biohacking toolkits and really everything that I couldn't find when I was going on this journey in the one place.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure that link is in the show notes. But if you are listening to this podcast and you're feeling like you're not at your best, that you're not operating at your best, and that could be because of your energy levels, it could be because of brain fog, it just could be because you're just feeling like you're not in control, and that you're not feeling, you know, your optimal best, then I really encourage you to join the collective, because it means that you're getting regular information that's going to help you to take control back of your life, of your thoughts, of your emotions, you know, of you, so that you can show up as the best version that you can. And I know that, as you can probably hear from our chat today, Angela is just, she's just the most, you know, one of the most women authoritatives when it comes to biohacking, specifically when it is for us. So, Angela, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been amazing talking to you. I could talk about this stuff for hours. You know, I love, you know, seeing, you know, what our performance can be. And, you know, I think sometimes we get to a certain age, and as we're getting older, we're like, oh, you know, this is just age, this is whatever. And I'm like, I don't think it needs to be that way.
I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, now with there's so much biological age testing you can do, you know, and you can actually make yourself younger. You've got your chronological age, but you can be younger, many years younger than your age. I just did a biological age test and got a score that was 27 years younger. And that was looking at it from an inflammation perspective, something called glycans. And I think that if you're listening to this, you should feel empowered by what Natalie and I are doing and this conversation, because there's so much out there to help you. And I think it becomes positively addictive, because I never met anyone who said, you've got to stop now, I'm just getting so healthy, I'm feeling so high in energy, it's enough.
Exactly. All right, darling. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
My pleasure. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Not Over, Just Different. If you've been inspired by this episode and want to take the next step in your journey, be sure to check out our Welcome Pack. It's a great way to start your own personal development journey with the help of our amazing community. Next week, we'll be back with even more inspiring stories and practical advice for anyone ready to take on their next chapter in life, feeling fully empowered and full of passion for the journey ahead. And be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast by visiting notoverjustdifferent.com. Also, a 5-star rating and review makes a huge difference in helping us get the word out. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, keep living your best life.